Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At 5 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the owner of Ramble Row, Angie LaFrance. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
We're so happy you're here.
I'm so happy.
It's early, but she did it.
She did it.
And look, I'm like so awake.
You totally are.
It's crazy.
It's really cool.
I know. This is a whole new world for me. I haven't seen like Lewiston, Auburn in the light of morning in so long. What a beautiful, wonderful experience.
You can learn more about Angie and Ramble Row in the summer issue of LA Metro Magazine's gallery pages, starting on page 19.
Yeah.
Came out fantastic.
It did come out fantastic.
Oh, yay.
We're going to talk to Angie all about Ramble Row coming up here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, July 1st.
The Sun Journal reports that computer systems for St. Mary's Health System and Central Maine Healthcare are back online. Both organizations experienced cyber issues about a month ago. Neither hospital has provided any details about what exactly happened to their systems.
Maine State Police named an award in honor of two men who died trying to stop the mass shooter at Just in Time Recreation during the October 25th tragedy. Jason Walker and Michael Delorier charged the shooter as his gun malfunctioned, placing themselves in harm's way while trying to protect others. The organization's new civilian award was named the Walker Delorier Memorial Award.
Maine's congressional delegation is accepting nomination applications from high school students for appointments to the U.S. service academies operated by the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Merchant Marines. No nomination is required for the Coast Guard Academy. For more information, contact the offices of Senators King and Collins and Representatives Golden and Pingree.
And the City of Auburn invites everyone to the Auburn Riverwalk to enjoy this month's 16-panel story walk titled Snow in the Jungle. The children's book is about a polar bear named Snow who moves from the Arctic to the jungle as themes of moving, belonging, and making friends are explored. The first panel is just beyond the Hilton Garden Inn.
Want to talk about the weather?
Let's do it.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Angie is totally vibing with the weather song.
So vibing. I vibe with anything Sarah plays ever. You can sing about literally anything and make it sound so lovely.
You're so kind. Thank you. The official forecast is this: afternoon showers and a possible thunderstorm giving way to partly sunny skies today. We'll have a high of 84.
Ugh.
And a low of 60. What? Such a... All right.
Look at me. I'm not a heat person.
No. Tomorrow it's going to be cloudy again with a high of 84 and a low of 67, and sunny on Thursday with a chance of evening showers and again highs in the 80s.
In sports, Willier Abreu hit a grand slam and an inside-the-park home run to lead the Red Sox over the Cincinnati Reds 13-6. They'll play again tonight at 7. Before the game, the Sox will honor the 50th anniversary of the 1975 World Series team.
Whoop, whoop. Red Sox prospect Justinson Garcia was selected to play in the MLB All-Star Futures game on July 12th in Atlanta.
And congratulations to former Maine Nordique Shane Coslina, who committed to further his education and hockey career at Colorado College.
Aw, go get him, Cos.
Right?
Nice.
We had Cos on the show a couple of times.
He's a good kid.
Great kid. That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it is time for the podcast segment that is
Sweeping.
The Twin Cities. Got to work on your pitch.
Did I get it?
A little pitchy.
A little pitchy.
It's time for famous people birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's famous people birthdays. It's famous people birthdays. There it is.
Let's take a look at FPBs for July the 1st, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start off with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, I love Pam.
58 years old today.
Yeah.
And hotter than ever.
Right?
Yes.
I love her new refusal to wear
That's
makeup.
The thing. That's the thing. Yeah. Liberating.
It's not good for your skin.
No.
And, you know, she's all about being healthy and, yeah, best known for Baywatch, probably.
Yeah,
right?
She played CJ Parker in Baywatch from 92 to 97. She was in Barbed Wire in 96.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Scary Movie 3 and Borat. Dan Aykroyd, legendary actor, 73 years old today. He was on for 4 or 5 years on SNL. From 75 to 79.
Wow.
Then started making awesome movies like The Blues Brothers and Ghostbusters and Coneheads.
Coneheads was great.
Coneheads.
Trading Places. Dan was also in The Great Outdoors with John Candy.
Oh, yeah.
Great movie. And then he also did some serious roles as well. He was in Driving Miss Daisy, Chaplin, Pearl Harbor.
Gross Point Blank.
He's
so good in that.
I forgot he was in Chaplin, too. That's a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
Absolute legend.
So good.
Singer Victor Willis of the Village People is 74 years old today. He is the police officer, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I did actually wonder.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fred Schneider of the B-52s, 74 years old today.
Everybody had matching towels. That's my favorite ever line he's ever sang.
Debbie Harry of Blondie, 80 years old today. Jamie Farr.
Oh, from MASH.
From MASH. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Jamie Farr is 91 years old today.
Corporal Klinger.
Corporal
MASH is the best. I got into MASH because of Corey, my best friend and former business partner.
That's your FPBs for July the 1st. Okay. Now let's take a look at some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Did you have Eddie Van Halen on that? The guitar track behind you was like...
Right?
Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow. That was actually Sarah. We plugged in the ukulele.
The ukulele. Yeah, yeah, that's what she sounds like plugged in.
Hard rock.
Added a little distortion.
Yay. Yay. Let's see. On this day, 18 years ago in 2007, England banned smoking in all public spaces.
Wow. Go England.
Go England. 27 years ago in 1998, a Florida man...
Oh, God.
No, this is going to be good. Sued the Diamond Dolls strip club, claiming that stripper Tawny Peaks hit him upside the head with her enormous double D breasts, causing him to suffer whiplash and permanent neck damage. Way to go, Florida man. Your face right now.
Grandpa, where'd you get all your money again? Well.
Well, let me tell you the story of Tawny Peaks.
Okay.
Okay. 33 years ago in 1992, A League of Their Own was released.
One of the best baseball movies.
Absolutely. So good. Made me give a crap about sports for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. What do you think the best baseball movie of all time is, Mark?
I think it's between A League of Their Own and Bad News Bears.
Oh, really?
The original, not the Billy Bob Thornton.
Right, right, right.
Walter Matthau.
Original. Oh, yeah. I would have gone tie between Field of Dreams and League
That's where
Their
I thought
Own.
You were going to go.
I don't much consider Field of Dreams a baseball movie. It's more of a fantasy.
That's fair.
41 years ago in 1984, the PG-13 rating was created and X rating became NC-17. The first PG-13 movie didn't hit theaters until a month later, and it was Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. Uh-huh. What happened in Red Dawn again? Who was in that?
I don't even know.
Patrick Swayze, C. Thomas Howell.
Oh.
Wow, you know that?
C. Thomas Howell?
I grew up in the 80s.
The guy from, is that Gilligan's Island? No.
No.
See Thomas Howell. That's Mr. Howell.
That's Mr. Howell.
You guys seen Red Dawn with Mr. Howell?
Lover.
I thought Lovey was great in it.
Lovey, hand me that.
So intense. Such a cool spinoff.
Do you remember the movie that inspired the PG-13 rating?
No.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Soon as you started talking, I was like, oh, yeah, I do remember that.
What part was it? Was it the
ripping out of the heart?
Yeah.
The human sacrifice.
Yeah.
The forcible extraction of a still-beating human heart. Something like
child
that.
Slavery.
I'm like, what did it?
What was the thing that pushed him
what
over the edge?
What concerned people?
Our childhood.
I know. It was so feral and awesome, and I can't believe we're still here.
How about this from our childhood? 46 years ago in 1979, the first Sony Walkman went on sale.
Love it.
Oh. Love that.
Did either of you own a Sony Walkman?
Yes. Yeah.
How cool was it?
It was pretty cool.
I could walk with a soundtrack, and then I could always wear my headphones around my neck even when I wasn't listening to my cassettes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You were a badass.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right?
And 62 years ago in 1963, the U.S. Post Office began using 5-digit zip codes.
That's so exciting. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
I know.
And we did not get through the day without acknowledging that on this day.
I wonder what Beverly Hills 90210 would have been called had it not been for the
Who would even know? Yeah.
Not instituted.
9021?
Right.
Like, was it four? Was it 4 digits before?
Might have been.
I like it.
Who made that call? Did your research tell you?
No.
Who in the post office was like, you know what? Was it the postmaster general? I don't even know how that works.
I don't either. There's probably
still a postmaster general?
I wonder if it was Mr. McFeely.
Oh my God,
right?
Mr. McFeely. Aww. Him and Mr. Howell.
Yeah.
Probably made
that
call.
They got together and they were like, you know what we need? Mm-hmm. 5 digits.
We need 5 digits.
Now, you got 5 fingers, you need 5 digits in your zip code.
That's where we got the 5 digits.
Yeah.
Not because we have 5 on our hands. Right. This is very unhinged. Let's bring it back.
Now seems like a good time to tell you that those are your FPBs and OTDs for July the 1st.
Does sound like a good time, Mark.
I think it's at the right time.
Good call.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Now we shift focus fully to our guest in studio,
finally.
Angie LaFrance, owner of Ramble Row. I know, we apologize for making you sit through all that.
Fixing my hair like it's a visual medium. I'm like, finally, let's go.
Is that just for our benefit?
Yeah.
Okay,
she looks beautiful for those folks wondering.
For 6, 7, 8, what time is it? I don't know. For early in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
You walked in here looking gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sarah, take it away.
Oh, well.
I'm exhausted.
Me too. I hit the wall. We laugh too much. I hit the wall. I just need to glaze over.
Yeah.
Now you're going to ask me questions.
Yeah, we totally are.
After doing that. Okay.
We're happy you're here because we've known you for a very long time, and you are a delight and a big part of our community. But we're here to talk today about your small business, which is Ramble Row.
Yeah.
So tell us how this started, because I just logged into Etsy and was like, oh, look at her cute page, and then discovered that you've been doing this for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's not just a little hobby, Sarah.
No, this is a business. Your artwork is here. Your handmade items are here.
Yeah.
Your personality shines through this page.
Does it? You think so?
I absolutely do. One of my favorite things on your Etsy page is a greeting card of a cat that says, look, I'm sorry.
Look, I'm sorry, okay?
I love you. I don't know what that cat did, but his look says it all.
And that's the thing. Anybody that's a cat person knows, like, the cat did something.
Yeah.
And it's not really about what the cat did. It's about that he's sorry and really adorable. So basically, I'm just encouraging people, you know, when you really, really screw up with people, all you got to do is just be like, look.
Super cute.
Look, pal, I'm sorry.
And be cute.
And just be cute.
Yeah.
And be yourself.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of yourself here in your art, and I love it. So can you tell us how Ramble Row started?
It started out really like I had gotten divorced and, you know, ventured out to, like, you know, that weird liminal space where you're like, what's next? And my creativity has always been a running theme. I've always been an artist since I can remember, and I've always liked making handmade things and upcycling things. So I just sort of started Ramble Row back then on a whim. I started just with, like, gemstone jewelry mostly. Mm-hmm. So I was using a lot of natural gemstones and wire wrapping them and trying all these different techniques. And then I was going to, like, markets and craft fairs and things like that. And it was just, it kind of did start off a little bit like a hobby, but it was mostly something, you know, just to keep my mind and my creativity Basically, it was a form of escapism. Like, yeah. My art typically is, you know, and I know there are good and bad sides to escapism. You know what I mean? So I always tell myself, hey, at least I'm not smoking crack. no offense to any of our listeners that are smoking crack. That is your personal choice. But yeah, it's it just kind of started out like that. And then it just snowballed. People liked it. And then I was like, hey, I guess I could like make a go at this. And it's kind of what took me from there.
You've developed different art forms throughout the years.
Oh, yeah.
So right now, like currently, if we go to your page, your Ramble Row Etsy page, which is, what is the?
It's Ramble Row, all one word. Mm-hmm. So R-A-M-B-L-E, mm-hmm. Row, R-O-W, dot Etsy.com.
So you can go and you can check out these things. But right now, there's a lot of handmade jewelry from broken china pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of been a thing that I've developed this year. And I've always felt like I was a time traveler in another life, or maybe now or altogether, you know. So I've always been drawn to vintage items, and I've always liked picking, and I've always liked upcycling things. So I always loved the delicate patterns and the idea of china. And I always thought, like, it's so sad that we don't use china anymore, simply for the fact that, I mean, and I'm a really casual person. I'm not saying I wish we'd go back to those standards, but I just miss the artwork of it and the craftsmanship of it. And people would have that stuff displayed and they would pass it down as heirlooms. And you have all of these super delicate and super old pieces of ceramic that have somehow survived.
Mm.
Like over 100 years, a lot of these plates. And that to me is so remarkable, yeah, to have survived intact through all that it's probably seen and through all the decades and sometimes a century full of different hands it's passed through and different like uses that it's had. And now that our life is a lot more casual in our society, a lot of those plates end up on shelves in thrift stores or they end up in landfills because people don't have the room to store and collect that. So breaking it into china, especially plates that are already chipped or broken, and upcycling it into little pieces you can wear, mm, felt like a way to continue their lives on, mm, and save them from eventually ending up in a landfill. But also, like, I just have this feeling like every, I don't know if it's too early for hippy dippy woo woo, but
never.
I mean, people are going to wake up to like the actual national and international news anyway. So I don't know why I'm putting a disclaimer on anything. Nothing you're about to hear sounds weird to anybody right now.
This comes out in the afternoon.
Perfect.
Who knows what we're going to know by afternoon today? But yeah, I feel like every piece sort of like holds some like sort of imprint from all the different like energetic like people, like all the people and places it's been, yeah. It's got to hold some kind of energy and story and history to it. So I think about that with every piece. I try and imagine its lifespan and what it could have been and who could have, oh, wow, eaten on it or passed it down to their grandma or something, and how their grandmas would be so relieved that at least, you know, you're wearing a pair of earrings that are made from it or something. Or maybe she would be pissed. Honestly, probably pissed.
Hard to know. I never had thought of it that way. Like, mm, I just I see them and I think they're gorgeous.
Oh, thank,
because the patterns are beautiful. You make unusual shapes from them too,
yeah, yeah,
which is really unique. But I had never considered this isn't just like a plate you picked up and smashed. This is a plate that was passed down for generation to generation, right, to generation.
Right.
And then somebody along the way lost sight of it. And it ended up, like you say,
sure,
in Goodwill or some thrift, right, store somewhere for a dollar. You know, and
yeah,
no longer part of a set.
Right.
No longer being a
or part already of chipped or cracked, yeah, or it's, you know, a lot of older ceramics and a lot of older things a lot of times can have lead. The ceramics, and specifically, they'll use lead-based glazes or paints on them. So we know now that, you know, they're not good to eat off of. Mm-hmm. So they lose their practical use completely, right, a lot of them. In this way, as long as you're not sucking on them and you're just wearing them off of your ears, you know, you're
all
set.
Or on a ring or in a necklace.
Or on a ring or a necklace, because, you know, I seal them all after I trim them with gold or silver paint or whatever. I seal them all. So it's a way to like still have them and use them. And also, they're not stuck in a cupboard or in like a display case or something, which is beautiful when people walk into your home.
Yeah.
But being able to take a really pretty china pattern and wear it out into the world with you is pretty fun, I think.
Otherwise, they might be forgotten.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Can you imagine?
Do you ever have a moment where you have something really beautiful and whole and you're about to break it, where you have like a moment of like...
Almost every single time I break a plate. Yeah. Almost every single time. And that's part of the reason too that on my site, you'll notice I have some plates that are whole. They're not being sold as jewelry because in going and picking up these plates at various local, I mean, I thrift them. Sometimes I have them donated to me by people who are trying to, you know, lighten their loads of their stuff. And
they're passing it on.
Yeah, they're passing it on. Yep, exactly. A lot of times I'll find these plates and I'll do a little research into them now. Like I'll see ones that look a little special and stand out, or whoever gave them to me will be like, oh, there's a special one in here. My grandmother told me. And then when I go and I research them, I find out all kinds of cool facts about them. And I'm like, I can't break this. This is like a collector's item. It's still whole. It's still in good condition. Mm. It's not necessarily ready to go on to its like retirement life or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like still got some magic in it, all whole by itself, you know.
Like I can imagine telling the story of some of these pieces too. Like some of them probably date back to crossing an ocean even.
Oh my God.
Here in New England, you know.
That gives me goosebumps. Like that's the kind of stuff I really geek out on.
Yeah.
Like that's the stuff that gives me chills is when I hold a plate in my hands and I'm just like, I'll research it and like, it's just, oh my God. Like I have a plate on my site that is like it's a teacup saucer, but it's a 1960s Paragon saucer that was made in commemoration of Princess Margaret's wedding.
Oh, I see it. It's pink.
Yes. It's like pink and teal. And
it's so beautiful.
It is. It's so dainty and beautiful. And I really enjoyed like researching that one and stuff because anybody that likes kind of getting into royal history and stuff like that, like there's always like scandal to the story and this and that. And so that's why I also like to post content when I find these special plates. I'll call it ceramic lore, you know.
I love it.
And I'll be like, let's get into some ceramic lore. And I will show the plate. I'll tell some backstory and history on the plate. Like I did a video that was kind of explaining Princess Margaret's relationship and the marriage and subsequent divorce and a little bit of drama and scandal. And so I have a lot of fun with it because you're right. Like all these pieces, they seem like just mundane, you know, relics, but they all have some kind of story.
This plate is really beautiful. And I love that you tell the story of it. And I love that there are stories for all of these pieces. Really beautiful.
Thank you.
Really beautiful. You have other artwork here on your Etsy page too. You have such a broad range of talent.
I have ADHD.
Yeah.
I have adult diagnosed ADHD. That's what that is. It's fun because I get to do a little of everything because I'm interested in a little of everything.
You have so many talents though.
Oh, that's
painting.
Nice.
Your paintings are phenomenal.
Thank you.
So if anybody has ever visited your business, Obscura, in Lewiston, they will have seen some of your work up on the walls.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Some larger.
Yeah.
Larger portraits and beautiful pieces that you've done. But here you've got some really fun things, again, where you're upcycling frames, old frames.
Right.
Can you talk about that a little bit, about your painting?
Totally. Like the art thing has always been it's my main passion, my main love. Like I said, I use it as a form of escapism. Painting is my favorite thing. But sometimes your art can't really get out to people because it's not as accessible to everyone. So I just would find these really cool frames that I used to like to put my own stuff in, these vintage frames. I'd thrift them and stuff. And then I started thinking, what if I did smaller paintings, you know, these little 5x7 paintings, and put them in these frames. And now the frame is getting a second life again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I rejuvenate the frame and it's got new life and new artwork in it. And it's at a cost that is still accessible. Because framing services, I have to say, are like, that is an investment that I support for sure. Getting your stuff professionally framed, and specifically professionally framed from like a smaller professional frame shop for sure, which there aren't as many around anymore.
We know a framer.
We know a framer. Corey Dufour. He's another person of many.
So many talents.
So many talents. So it makes sense that we collaborate all the time. But he kind of taught me or got me to appreciate the intricacy of framing and how much it adds to artwork.
Yeah.
And he never frames things normally because he doesn't do anything normally, you know? He does everything over the top.
A little extra.
And a little extra, which, you know, was annoying when we were taking years and years to get obscura done. And he's like, this isn't the right molding. I just can't. And I'm like, okay, that's our third molding. Let's see what else we got. So anyway, he got me to realize that, like, you can really add to the piece through the frame as well. And that's just as much as of an art form. And so taking these really cool frames that people put time into and that people built, it's also a way to honor that art form. You know what I mean? Honor the thing that makes the art even better. So yeah, that's sort of the idea behind it. I guess that was my thought process. And
it makes it much more accessible to people.
Yeah.
Those smaller pieces.
Yeah.
And I love that that's a goal of yours, to bring art to people in a way that they understand.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like, for me especially, where I look at something and I'm like, I don't get it. Clearly.
Sounds like you. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm a pretty simple person. I love that you're able to do that. And I'm sure that people appreciate that. And you got to have a great experience at our art walk recently, where people really showed their appreciation to you and to Corey as well.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. So much of the experience of starting and ending Obscura, it gave me so much insight personally, professionally, that it definitely influences your work, you know, it influences your creativity and your drive. And so I took so much from that, that is now kind of part of the soul of my work that wouldn't have been without it. Mm-hmm. So to feel that kind of reciprocity was just really special. It really was to both of us. And one of our employees too, Grayson Stibbards, who is a young local woman who is just an amazing artist, an amazing person, and same, like, sold her products at Obscura and people just loved them. One of my favorite parts about that span of time was the creative space of it all.
Yeah, you really used your space as a gallery for other artists too.
Yeah, for artists, for musicians. I mean, Sarah hosted all of our open mics and we just had really good times and really good memories. It was like a clubhouse for local creatives and people that needed a safe place, and they found it there, you know what I mean? So it made it hard to leave, but it made it worth it to have been there at all, you know?
Good experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It also explains why we have limited inventory on Ramble Row.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was like, this is so great. But then I was just like, oh my God, there's nothing on the site.
So you've got some plans.
Yeah. I'm working on a lot of stuff. No rest for the wicked. We're just going to keep rolling.
Yeah. What can we expect to see?
Well, I'm working on more product and more inventory, like the previous stuff. So you're going to see a lot more of the broken China jewelry, earrings, necklaces, things like that. I also, you know, as you said, I have my art up there, and some of that includes digital art and digital products. So I have a whole section of the site that is also downloadable products. So I have like labels.
Principal kitchen.
Yeah,
labels.
Kitchen labels. So like if you have all of your spices and you're a person that likes aesthetically to have it all organized and looking cute, I designed, you know, labels that you can print out on sticker paper at home.
Oh, they're so cute.
Yeah, you can buy them for, you know, a few bucks or whatever off the site, and depending on what it is, and then print them off at home, and then you can, you know, and also you can print them off and use them for gifts. You know, I have different pantry labels on there. Yeah. I have greeting cards and stuff like that. So there's going to be more of that stuff. Ooh. And I'm also thinking about venturing into maybe doing some digital, like, art parties and art lessons too.
Ooh.
So, you know, back in the day when paint parties were such a big thing. And now we're home a lot more. We don't go out as much as we used to, or we can't. So I want to create videos that are instructional but fun for people to do simple little art projects. And you can download the instructional video. It will come with, you know, a list of all the supplies that you need, and you can buy those supplies within your price range. You can spend as much or as little as you want, you know, on the supplies. That's up to you. You can invite people over your house to do it with you, or you can do it solo, with just me in the video. And I just feel like that would be a fun way to connect with friends and family and do something creative, because I think the world needs a little bit more face-to-face connection. And it doesn't always feel super safe to go out and do that in this kind of weird space we're living in right now. So being able for people to be able to have that at home, especially people that have any issues with anxiety, you know, that's heightened right now. I just feel like it could be a way maybe to spread a little bit of that creativity around in a very low impact kind of way.
To share your escapism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Escape together.
Yes. Let's keep ourselves from becoming alcoholics by becoming artaholics.
Artaholics.
Yeah.
Have you always, your whole life, been an artist? You just strike me as somebody who woke up with a paintbrush one day and was like, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like, I don't even like remember exactly how or when. Like, it's been a part of me for so long that I don't remember a time that it like hit my awareness, you know, in my development. But I do remember like small pockets of childhood where like I would just see things in my head and draw them. Cause that's another thing is people, I do a lot from my head, and that's why everything has a little bit of a whimsical, like, illustrative property to it, mm-hmm. and not too hyper-realistic and stuff like that, because I will use some – I'll do some reference work, but a lot of it comes right out of my head. Yeah. So it's almost just, like, me remembering, like, dreams and memories of, like, life and objects. And so it's just a really fun way to kind of get lost in my imagination, you know?
Was your family pretty supportive of that when you were little?
Oh, yeah. And art runs in my family. My father is a really talented artist. He owns East Coast Sign and Design in Lewiston, him and my mom. And so they're in the sign business. So they're in the graphic art business. But my dad, like, took his artistic, you know, fine arts skills and then parlayed it into digital, which is something I've done too, you know, to be able to monetize it in a way that you can sustain yourself. And so I learned a lot from him, and I got, I think genetically just, you know, I got lucky to have some of that artistic skill, passed down. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've always painted. My dad, I remember my dad taking me to a craft store that used to be on Lisbon Street. And I don't even remember the name, but it was like across from the old McDonald's next to where the old chalet used to be. We went in and it was a craft store, and I remember my dad buying a Bob Ross oil painting kit, because I used to love watching Bob Ross when I was a kid.
Who doesn't?
I know. I still.
Yeah.
And I remember him and I did like a mountain painting or whatever. Oh. And I remember that's when I really fell in love with painting, because that was my first experience with painting instead of just drawing, with painting with actual oil paints and actual professional brushes and stuff. And I remember being like, this is so fun. I'm going to grow an afro. I am going to, like someone's going to have to take over.
I can just picture a young Angie, like with a box of Crayola crayons, just making a masterpiece and your parents being like, what? Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to ask them. Yeah. I mean, I remember sometimes like I would draw something and it would be like super like emotional or something too, you know, and my mom would be like, oh my God, look at what Ange drew. Like, she's a child, but she captured this really emotional image from her brain. And then, you know, therapy as an adult happened. And
processing.
No, but art was sort of, I think, maybe my way to do that.
An outlet.
Looking back on that now, I'm like, oh, I was probably just felt comfortable, more comfortable expressing what was going on inside my head through art than maybe I did through words or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people end up in that, in those circumstances.
Yeah.
Where it's just easier to express, like, either through music or painting or art of any kind.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I, you know, how I get it out of my body and into a form. you know?
Totally. And here's the thing, that if I could have anybody hear anything, well, there's a lot of things. But one of the most important things, I think, is that I hear all the time, oh, gosh, I wish I could do that. Oh, my gosh, I don't have a creative bone in my body, though. Oh, my God, that's so amazing. I love it. I can't. I can only draw a stick figure. I can't draw. Everybody can draw. Art is subjective. Yeah. Art is for more than just the purpose of impressing people or accolades or anything like that. Mm. There are people that monetize their art in some way because they want to sustain themselves by doing something they love. But art doesn't always have to be your identity for you to enjoy it. Mm. Art can be a very personal thing. My sister, Sam, she is an incredible artist, my younger sister. She's so good that it's slightly irritating. And she won't show her work. Oh. And I'm like, why are you, are you shy? Like, you don't want to be in the spot? I mean, we can show it anonymously. We don't have to, like, it's no pressure. But, like, people need to see this. Like, it's so good. And she was like, it's not really about any of that. It's just, it's so personal to me. It's something I do for me. And she's like, I'm not trying to say that you're not doing it for you as well, but like, for me, it's just, I just don't have that feeling of sharing it. It's something that feels very private and personal to me. Mm. And that is more than okay. You don't have to be good at art, but I'll tell you what, and this is the part you have to hear. You don't think you need creativity in your life. You do. You absolutely do. You need it right in this moment more than ever. In our world, more than ever. You might think it's not important because there's so many big things going on. I'm telling you, is very important. Your mental health literally depends on creativity. It's how we problem solve. It's how we relate to the world. It's how we relate to each other. And when we start closing ourselves off to creation like that, we're only consuming at that point.
Yeah.
We've totally lost our outward output.
Blocking things off and preventing.
You're blocking yourself.
Yeah.
You're blocking yourself from expressing yourself and for expressing yourself in a way that fellow human beings are going to relate to. Mm. And that language speaks way more clearly than any discussion over beliefs or politics or any kind of social expectations. When you can just be an example of letting your authenticity out, it gives other people the permission to do the same. We shouldn't need that permission, but we're human beings and that's part of our workup.
Yeah.
So it's like, make the art, man. Make the bad art, make the good art, make the art you're not sure about. It's art. If you're cooking a meal and you are putting more into it than you would just the instructions, that's art. Yeah. It's culinary art, you know? Mm. The most mundane things in your life are art. Do the damn art, please. For the children of this world, for the next generations, for us right now.
For connection.
For connection. Mm. Do the art, whatever your art is. Express yourself. And number one, or number two, I guess, support other people doing the same.
Yeah, you're very good at that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very good at that.
I want to be, because it's so important right now to support local, to support little, to support fellow humans. Mm. Like, we forget it's fellow humans, also human beings just like you in various different forms. So it's like we're all on the same team, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And we're fighting the wrong powers, you know? We are fighting each other instead of lifting each other up. We're complaining about the economy and losing all of our beautiful local businesses and generations of families that built this community and built space for all the larger conglomerates to come in. Mm. But they pushed in and they didn't save any space for us. We can complain about that. We can vote all we want. But as we've seen, voting doesn't always go our way or doesn't always live up to the promises that we were promised when we make our choices. but, and I'm going on to a whole rant here, and I'm sorry, this is not about Ramble Row, but it is in a way. Like, the biggest reason for me doing this right now is the call I feel to just not get in people's faces and be like, you need to start being nicer to one another and you need to start being nicer to yourself. But I'm gently trying to suggest it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to suggest it in a way that people lift themselves up by creating more and supporting the other people that are creating. Mm. It takes power away from the people that think they just have a grip on our spirit and our humanity and that we're just collateral for the federal deficit. We're humans.
Yeah.
And art has been the thing throughout history that proves our humanity. It's one of the things that proves our humanity and can't be replicated even through AI. Mm-hmm. So just keep making art.
Yeah.
Keep supporting it.
That's a good message.
Yeah.
Keep making art.
Yeah.
My question for you is, when are we going to see the Angie LaFrance children's book?
Oh, my God.
Can we please have
yeah.
one? Please.
Yeah.
I've written and illustrated by Angie LaFrance.
By me?
Yes, please.
By someone else.
No, by you.
Wouldn't that be so funny?
I think that would be fantastic.
I have thought about it for so, so long, and now I don't have any kids of my own, but I have a 3-year-old niece.
I know you have a love affair with
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with my niece. She is so hilarious. She tells it like it is. She allows me to see the world again through my child eyes that I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
Everybody out there that is like around kids and, you know, has kids that they love in their life. I mean, you know, you raised an amazing, amazing boy.
He's pretty great.
It's so amazing. Shout out, Leo. You know, it's just fun to watch and remember the developmental stages of our lives and be like, wow, look at this kid just taking in the world with no expectations of it.
And loving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just fully open.
I think you would be a fantastic children's book author.
I'm
going to
do it. I'm going to do it. And I've also had people that I really respect reach out to me wanting also to write children's books and asking if I'd be interested in collaborating with them and stuff like that. So that's definitely stuff that is down the pike for me. I can say, I just imagine that happening for sure.
I love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Me either.
I'm excited for that. Where else can people find you and your artwork besides the Ramble Row Etsy page? Where can we see you?
Right now, nobody can find me anywhere.
Oh,
I am in hiding. I need
Except
a break.
Except you're here right now.
Except I'm here right now. No, right now, it's mostly just the Etsy page as I'm building things up. Yeah. It was the Etsy page and it was Obscura where I was selling. But I have little mobile setups that I'm going to be trying to, you know, get around to different local places and different people, good friends of mine that own great local businesses that have been interested in carrying them so that they're accessible locally to people without having to order and ship. And so that will be coming down the pike too.
Great.
The biggest thing you can do is follow me on social media.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Because that's where you're going to get like all the updates and the news. So in the next, I'm really excited for the next few months because that's when I'm just really going to be pushing out all this new creative energy now that time has opened up for me to do that.
Yeah.
So big things will be coming. And if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, both accounts are just under Ramble Row, then you'll be up to date with all the content and all the new stuff that's coming out.
Where'd the name come from?
The name. Yeah. So that's an interesting one. I don't know exactly like the exact origin story, but I know that I've always had this sort of traveler vibe, you know, where I've felt like a pull towards that, like, I don't know, kind of traveling caravan, bohemian kind of artsy thing. And also, you know, grew up on Led Zeppelin. So Ramble On was one of my favorite songs that that song always got me pumped up. It always resonated with me. And so Ramble Row sounded really good together. It had the alliteration factor and once I started floating that out there, it just felt normal, like it fit. And everybody was just like, oh, the name's great. But nobody knew why. It just rolled off the tongue. So it stayed. And I'm usually one that will change the name of something like 18 times because I think of better things or because I change the branding. But this will always be Ramble Row. It's just going to be a living, breathing thing.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
Are you ready for three random questions?
Oh, that's right.
Earlier in the show, you said you felt like a time traveler.
Yeah.
Mm. If you had a time machine and could only use it for one day, where would you go and what would you do?
Oh, my.
Right.
I can only use it one
Just
time.
One day.
I did all the work to create a time machine.
I didn't say you created it.
Oh, I might have ordered it off.
you got it on Etsy.
I got it on Etsy. Support local, seriously.
Support your local time machine.
Support your local time machinist. That is such a good question. Mm. I feel really connected to so many different eras, mostly sort of like the Victorian era. Mm. I am always super intrigued by, and I understand that like it's dark. It's pretty dark. Mm. But it's also so fantastically bizarre. Like, I don't know if you guys have seen that meme. It's something like old-timey doctors be like, yeah, you definitely have ghost in your blood. You should go do cocaine about it, you know? Like, things were so weird. The Victorians, like, they smelled really bad and things were really dirty. And so they just embraced it. And they were like, let's do weird, morbid things and be, like, obsessed with death. And let's make jewelry out of our hair. It's really, yeah. So maybe I was a little too honest about that answer. 60s Greenwich Village, the folk revival. I'm going to go with that. It makes me feel a little less like a concern for my mental health.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody knows that, well, most everybody knows I'm obsessed with capybaras because I think they're friends to all. Who do you think would be the best animal to have as your best friend?
I really am a cat person, and that's not a surprise. Like, I have the personality for one. Mm-hmm. So I love having, like, a little kitty companion. I feel like they're very smart. They're very intuitive. I like that a lot of them are super independent, and they're just not bothered by you. They're basically just like, just let me know when my next meal is, and I'm going to be really picky about it. Basically, you're there to serve them. Is what I feel like with cats. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. It's a mutual relationship.
That's what you're looking for in your animal best friend?
That's what I'm looking for in my animal bestie. I want you to provide me with the snuggles and the cuteness. I want you to let me put your toe beans in my mouth a little bit.
Do you bite your cat?
I mean, I used to bite her a little bit, yeah.
Oh,
just a little.
I knew I liked you.
Yeah.
I bite my cat, too.
I just love them. And I lost mine. She was 16. I lost her a few years ago. And she was my best pal. And I definitely miss her. And I'm actually thinking now that things are slowing down for me. Well, in terms of, like, my schedule and how many hours I have to be in the world, it might be time to, like, adopt a new one soon. So,
yeah.
Putting your artistic skills aside, what is something you could teach someone to do today with 100% certainty?
Is it like a physical thing, like teaching them a skill, or are you just leaving it so open-ended? Oh, that's so rude that you're going to leave it that open-ended. Okay. Communication outside of ego is the key to every success story.
Mm.
I just made that up. That's not a quote. I just made that up. Maybe we should make it into a quote. I don't know if it's t-shirtable.
Let's get t-shirts on. Yeah, let's go.
Angie, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Really
Thanks so
has.
Much for your time today.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you guys
we
so much.
We appreciate you. Go to rambleroe.etsy.com if you'd like to learn more. And also on Facebook, search for Ramble Row. Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption for sponsoring today's show. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day, and remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my